Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
And good morning. Welcome into Fantasy Sports today on this Monday, the 27th of April, 2020. Craig Mish along with Joe Ranieri, as we've got plenty to get to in terms of the fantasy ramifications of the 2020 NFL Draft. A job well done in our coverage here on Sports Grid. 10 hours of live coverage. In case you missed it, you can go back and catch it on YouTube for sure. But we're back here broadcasting, doing our normal show. We got, of course, our This Day in Sports, our birthdays, we'll do stadium tours as well. But Joe, a job well done by you and the great team at Sports Grid. Really went off without a hitch. I was happy to participate with some of the Dolphins picks as well. And it's good to see you again this morning. What's going on?
Good to be back, Mish. I got to tell you, I had to wear my technical hat there last week a lot, making sure that we could bring that. A lot of moving parts there in that behind the scenes. But like you said, I mean, 10 hours of live programming, who'd have thunk it, but it was great. And, I mean, I am sure there are, outside of maybe one or two fan bases, probably pretty happy with how the draft went, including, you know, our Miami Dolphins here in South Florida.
Yeah, I think so. I think most teams come out of it feeling really good, and then there are some questions about a couple teams, and certainly we'll get to that in a minute. But I think overall, Joe, the theme for me was that, look, it's the highest watched draft of all time for sure. I think that we were all tuned in based on us all being home and watching it. But with all of the nervousness and indications that there could be some sort of technical issues or things that are happening, outside of the first 10 minutes where we were just really bored waiting for the draft to start, beyond that, I enjoyed this draft just as much as any other draft that I've seen. And I don't think that I'm exaggerating with that. I mean, certainly it's great to see the players and see them on the stage, but I don't really feel like that was necessary. They were at their houses, and ESPN was able to go to them many times, and I thought that we got all the emotions of that as well. And especially after, like I said, the first 10 minutes, the draft moved quick. The picks were getting in. Everyone knew who they wanted, and I really enjoyed that distraction for really two nights. I mean, the third day yesterday or a Saturday, Joe, you know, I mean, there were. I wasn't really dialed in like I was the first 2 days for sure. But I thought the first 2 days of coverage, not just because we had nothing else on, I thought that it was actually some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, listen, it's a new dawn, it's a new day, and let's be realistic here. None of us really had any idea what we were going to be witnessing and what we were going to be seeing there. But what ended up happening was, it was when you stripped it down, which is really what that was. You got a much more reality-themed and feel to it, you know, where Coach Andy Reid wearing his, you know, hanging out, wearing his Hawaiian shirt, and Belichick hanging out with the dogs, and, you know, whatever the hell that is that Kingsbury lives in over there in this Miami Vice pad. I mean, it was, I thought, man, it wasn't overdone. It wasn't oversaturated. Hell, even, you know, late in the rounds, you had Goodell calling it from his chair. I don't even think he got up at some point, so I thought it was way better. I didn't know what to expect, but I thought it went really, really well.
Yeah, and I think that there's a lot of notes that they can take from that. And I think that we're all learning how to not just watch TV and stay at home, but we're learning how to enjoy different sorts of things, even though they're not delivered to you. I mean, Saturday Night Live is another really good example of that, how they've now had two straight weeks of shows where they've been doing their shows at home. And again, it's not the same show with the laughter, and the draft isn't the same show with the hugging and the kissing. And I get all that, but for what my expectations were going in, I came out feeling really good about where we're at. And certainly I think that the NFL put on a show in that draft to show that other teams, I mean, look, a lot of the other it's a lot different, the NFL, the position that they're in, as opposed to the NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL. I mean, they're missing games, okay? This is just a draft. And, you know, the NBA draft certainly will be next. And then, you know, or maybe the baseball draft will be next. I'm not really sure how they're going to work all that out. Drafts are a lot easier to do than actually play games. But I think that the barometer has now been set how to handle that sort of atmosphere. And I do want to drive really hard into this draft today. So throughout our show, we're going to go into the picks and sort of talk about everything that that happened. But really, I think the top story from yesterday and from the day before, before we hit on the draft, Joe, is the idea that the NBA at least looks like they are diving back into business to a degree. Now, look, they're tempering a lot of the excitement that was initially reported.
Right.
And for good reason, because there are going to be some places in the country where it's going to be problematic to have full practices. But I think that as we start to see some of this leaking out, that potentially there could be 15 teams today or tomorrow or the next day, very soon, starting to open up their facilities.
Yep.
You know what comes next, Joe. It's a week or two of let's try this, then a week or two of practice, and then it is a week or two of preseason, and then a week or two of games. So dare I say, this target of having June, things being back, I think starts to feel a little bit more realistic in one way or the other. I wouldn't predict May at this point, but June certainly seems to be on the radar.
It's so crazy to think about it, Craig, where we started all of this. I mean, you know, first week in March, you and I are at Roger Dean Stadium. We're watching the Yankees. We're watching the Marlins take on. We're having a good time. And then from that point on, really, like week number two of March to where we are now, and thinking it's only about a month and a half, but it might as well have been, 3 years, it feels like, since it's been there.
Yeah.
And I think that's also, that curve starts to work to our advantage, too, because when you think about it and you get some perspective, how far we have come with this from the last 45 days, from where we started to where we are right now. And that, you know, April 30th kind of circled on the calendar where let's kind of reevaluate everything. It's here, and we're already starting to hear about how the NBA is looking to open up facilities for individual workouts and those types of things. I think we're going to learn a lot this week. Maybe no definitive answers, but certainly blueprints. I think we're going to have a pretty good idea of what needs to happen in order for us to get back to some normalcy.
Yeah, I think it's in terms of sports for sure. Yeah. And I think that that's going to be really cool and important to see. Aside from the draft, there was other news over the weekend, which, you know, certainly dominated the news cycle, which is, of course, Jameis Winston signing a one-year deal with the New Orleans Saints to be the backup to Drew Brees. So we think at the same time they extended Taysom Hill out for a couple of years. No one can really quite figure out what Sean Payton's infatuation is with Taysom Hill. And we've seen some of him, and he's looked good in the short periods of time that we've seen him. But for Jameis Winston, essentially, Joe, this is sort of, I mean, he probably wouldn't say that he's hanging his head low and just walking into a new facility and hoping to sniff out a game or two this year. But I think that's pretty much it. I mean, in fantasy, it makes some sense if you're going to draft Drew Brees very early and he's, let's say, the third or fourth quarterback off the board. Maybe if you're playing with deep rosters, grab Winston, throw him on your team and see what happens. But I mean, over under on games played this year, Joe, barring injury, is basically a half or one for Winston. I don't see him playing at all.
No, I think it signals two things. I think number one, and I've always said this, Sean Payton's not an idiot. If Taysom Hill was the future of this organization and he was viewed as a franchise quarterback, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. He's a great Swiss Army knife. He is a great football player. But obviously, Sean Payton, the organization, by signing Jameis, is saying, if something were to happen, Drew Brees, we're not putting in Taysom Hill to lead us through six, seven games or whatever it may be. And if I'm Jameis Winston, It could not have worked out any better for you. A one-year deal where you get to go to a organization finally that's got its stuff together, shall we say. All Hall of Fame quarterback you finally get to sit behind. Hall of Fame coach, Super Bowl winning everything. When you think about Jameis's years in Tampa, guys, it was marred by coaching changes, offensive coordinator changes, a mess. And this is going to be an opportunity for him to be able to kind of sit back, breathe a little bit, and really kind of understand what a organization is supposed to be like.
And get paid.
And get paid doing it.
And I think that we've always said that Winston could be a backup in the NFL for 10 more years if he chooses to. My guess is that there's a quarterback out there on one of the 32 teams that's going to fall completely flat. And that number one will probably grow exponentially as the season goes on. And Winston people will fall back in love with, and he'll get himself a starting job again in 2021. I think that's probably the way that it ends up working out. So we'll dive a little bit more into the other quarterback who's still on the market, and Cam Newton coming up in just a little bit. Trent Williams, also, that trade was final. Mm-hmm. That was another deal aside, well, sort of during the NFL draft, Joe. But Trent Williams now goes to the San Francisco 49ers. Looks like Joe Staley is going to retire. But, you know, Trent Williams, to me, not really a fantasy ramification type guy, but the Niners did a really good job, I thought, of just filling in a hole there. And how many times do you see this? Not very often in the NFL, where essentially a player knows he's going to retire but keeps it quiet.
Yes.
So therefore, his team can still navigate around him and making a deal.
13 years in the trenches, guys, is a lifetime. Like, I can't even, you know, when you think about it, and they say the reason that he's retiring is because of health reasons. Well, yeah, no crap. I mean, Joe Staley has been one of the best in the trenches his entire career. It doesn't shock me, but to your point, what the 49ers did by going out and get Williams, who was an all-star here, guys. This was, you're talking about a top-notch tackle in the National Football League who was kind of derailed a little bit by injuries, but it was handled, it botched so bad by the Washington Redskins that, you know, their failure is now a great opportunity for the 49ers to get in there. And who better? Shanahan, of course, who knows the, you know, knows the Redskins organization from his time there with Dad. So I find it interesting, the connection and the lineage as they end up filling in one all-star with another, and that usually doesn't happen.
So let's go real quick, and then we'll dive deeper into it. But highlights of the draft, Joe, SEC dominated again, 14 players from LSU. Carolina took all defensive players. We figured out where Tua was going to end up going. Jake Fromm slipped a little bit. You know, you nailed a really good one picking Ruggs to be the first receiver, and the odds were just ridiculous. I don't think you were too busy to get down on that. I think I don't know. But
I had a little side action on that, but
I mean, those are among the highlights for me too. You know, in Green Bay was a disappointment. I think that everybody has acknowledged that.
Right.
Although they must have some grand plan we're unaware of, but those are sort of the things that my 30-second takeaway was specifically of the draft. And then later in the show, we'll get into the fantasy.
I thought it was very, and I had said it, we're either going to get absolute craziness, throw all caution into the wind early, or it's going to be one of the chalkiest drafts that we've seen, especially in the first round. And yeah, it turned out to be very, very chalky. And I think it also speaks volumes to the quality of the players in this year's draft, where no team felt they had to move up or do something. Like, they were going to be content with who they went and got. And you mentioned the SEC, but I think there was a lot of value in the second and third rounds with guys that could have went higher. But I think there was an awful lot of players in this draft that are difference makers early on. And I thought teams didn't feel like they had to go and do anything drastic to go get a player, because there were a lot of really good players through the first couple of rounds of this draft.
Yeah. What do you make of Jordan Love going to Green Bay? That seemed to be a pretty hot topic.
I love it. I love it because I think, well, I don't think, I know. The Green Bay Packers are telling you what they think of Aaron Rodgers. Listen, if you didn't see it last year, that cliff is starting to get, you know, on a downward spiral here, guys. He's a little half a second late here and step into – that they are basically telling you that Aaron Rodgers is much closer to the end than a rebirth like a Tom
the
Brady.
End at, the end at Green Bay, that's for sure.
We don't know about the NFL,
but the end of Green Bay, like Rivers.
I'd rather you go a year early than a year late. Somebody in that organization loves Jordan Love.
For sure.
Obviously. So, and I think also somebody in that organization made the decision that Rodgers is a lot closer to the end with us than he is to, you know, taking this thing to another level. It, you know, when you're talking about one of the game's greatest, it's never pretty. The breakup is never going to be pretty, but good for the organization for having enough of the nerve and the chutzpah to go up there and say, we love this kid. We love what he offers. This could be our franchise. We're going to get him. They did it with another guy, too. What was his name? Oh, yeah, Brett Favre. They took a guy in the first
round,
too.
They did, but come on. Love is not Favre, Joe.
No. Listen, Aaron Rodgers wasn't Aaron Rodgers till he was. So.
Well, he was also a first-round pick.
First-round picks. Looks a lot similar to me, but
I don't know.
Good for Love, by the way.
I don't even like Love in general.
But it's, you know, good spot for
him. I mean, it's really easy to pile on what everybody else is doing, but it's just too obvious that they didn't draft a receiver. Like they drafted Dylan. I'm not really sure why they did that. And I think that my biggest takeaway from the entire draft is that this is the final year of Aaron Rodgers playing in Green Bay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, it's got to be, unless they completely threw away a pick, and that's getting people fired.
You don't do it unless if you think Aaron Rodgers has got another 3-4 years in him. You don't do it. It tells me they don't think they're as close as everybody else seems to think they are. I think they are looking at this upcoming year where we're not nearly as good. We're not nearly as close as what our record showed last year, where they did have an awful lot of things go their way in that season. So Aaron Rodgers, to me, has got another year, maybe two, in Green Bay before they pull the plug on.
I mean, I cannot imagine they drafted Love to not play a single game in 2021. Like, I wouldn't doubt he wouldn't play a single game this year, but 2 years sitting on the bench after taking him in the first round, that seems...
And they're not giving Aaron Jones another contract, guys. Not happening. That, too, was
We learned a lot about running backs in this draft, too. Nobody cares.
Did we not, right? So true.
We are just done with running back. Like we talked about, I mean, McCaffrey should take that money. Whatever they're offering Mixon, I think he's just got to take the money. I mean, no first-round running backs at all?
Yep. There's a lot of...
If this was 5 years ago, Swift would have been a first-rounder for sure.
Should have been. Yeah, I think all of them would have been. I think most of those guys in there. Yep. Unbelievable. I didn't see Helaire going. We thought they might go running back, but we thought it would be Swift. But they go with Helaire, who is another perfect luxury item for Andy Reid and company there. He fits in, like Maurice Jones-Drew type of thing there, the kind of running that he is. Can catch balls out of the back. He's perfect. Did they need a running back? No, but when you've got the 32nd pick and you're champions, why not at that point?
Right. And as I've been telling you for weeks, the Dolphins were not going to take Herbert. That indeed proved.
And they didn't have to do anything crazy to go get their guy. It's amazing.
They didn't. And I'll tell you, the positive about the Dolphins is, first of all, I think they had a really good draft. They got sniped on Dobbins. We'll talk about that. But they had a good draft.
Yep.
But the one interesting takeaway that no one's talking about, Joe, that they should be, is that what they were able to pull off this year, they'll never be able to do again. You know? Going into next year, all the smoke screens, no one's going to believe them.
Nope.
Everyone is going to go with the pick that you would assume that they're going to take, because they threw out so much smoke up until the draft with all these other players and moving up and all this other nonsense. Yep. You try that again next year, you don't win.
Everyone will
know. But it was worth it to do it for Tua. Absolutely. It was worth it to grab Tua for sure.
You get your guy and you didn't have to move anywhere at number five. Remember we thought, what are you winning games for? You still got Tua.
They got
for
very
Tua
lucky.
Worked. Yes.
They got very lucky. They did. All right. We're lucky enough to continue our coverage here of the 2020 NFL Draft. It's our sort of recap show. But coming up next, we stick with what we usually do here on the show. This day in fantasy sports and sports birthdays. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Fish along with Joe Ranieri. We're back here on Monday with the latest in sports and fantasy sports, a full plate of that to discuss. Mm. But before we go any further, Joe, a big story from Sunday, an unfortunate story from Sunday as well. I don't know if you caught this, but the romance is over for Jay Cutler and Kristen Cavallari.
Cutler, former,
really one of my favorite reality TV shows is just not going to be the same. I mean, Jay Cutler was so good on that show, and Kristen Cavallari was really good on The Hills in that too. And look, there's kids involved, so of course, you know, I want to be as serious as I possibly can here, but when you let your personal life be this much on television, well, we are on television, so we have the opportunity to mention that as well. Never want to see that, Joe. Really disappointed to wake up to that today.
I am shocked, actually. I mean, to tell you the truth, I am completely shocked that that's what it came to. I had no idea they were in trouble. I mean, that was the...
Me either.
Very strange. I mean, I remember watching him ride that bicycle right on the sidelines there, and her being up in the box. It seems like we've known them forever. It really does. Heartbreaking.
Yeah, we're stuck in the Bahamas for a few weeks. You would have thought that while this whole pandemic was going on, you would have thought that that would have helped the cause. I guess it must have hurt it. But divorce rates are on the rise, Joe, with the pandemic. That's for sure.
That's nice. You know, like neighbors, the best ones are usually separated by a fence. Kind of same thing with marriage.
Got to keep that cooking going. That's all I'm saying. Got to keep those meals coming.
Amen.
Everyone will be happy. All right, so today is April the 27th, 2020, and of course we've got a lot to get to here on the show as we dive into the NFL draft. I'm going to have my top fantasy running backs, receivers, quarterbacks, and tight ends, and running back and receiver, for those of you who are in dynasty leagues, we'll have that coming up. I mean, it is going to, you got a monster set of wide receivers in fantasy this year.
Yep.
You have a dynasty league where you're kind of thin in that position, you're going to end up doing okay, so stay tuned to that if you're watching the show live. We're coming up about 15 minutes away from that, and if you're watching on demand, just hit that fast forward button on YouTube and it'll take you exactly where you need to go. All right, so this day in fantasy sports, Joe, it's April the 27th. Let's get the ball rolling here a little bit, tell people what they missed in the past just in case they missed it. And we start off in 1983. Nolan Ryan becomes the all-time strikeout king, 3,509 strikeouts. And Nolan Ryan is known, Joe, for, it seems like, only one thing, and that's punching Robin Ventura in the face. Why is that every time Nolan Ryan is mentioned, people go right to that every single time? They forget about how good this guy was. They just want to talk about the fight.
No, it's not just good, guys. He was beyond good. He was in a class truly all his own. And what can you say? When there was... Even during the era of Gooden and those guys, where they came back known as these strikeouts, these guys that were going to strike out 19. Nolan Ryan was doing that with his eyes closed, and he was doing it for franchises, unfortunately, who really weren't all that good to begin with. And I don't even know if people realize he started out with the Mets.
Yeah,
I mean, that's how it
true.
All started with that.
Having him and Seaver in my
Could
God.
You imagine? It's crazy to me, but one of the all-time greats. What'd you think of him as a baseball president? Because obviously he had a big hand in the Rangers.
That's a good question. He had a lot of success there in Texas, and they went to the World Series in 2011. And then John Daniels took over and essentially was named the president of baseball operations. And Nolan felt, I guess, a little slighted. So he ends up going, you know, back to Houston and takes a special assistant job there. And then his son, Reed Ryan, who was the president of baseball operations, gets demoted.
Yep.
And now he leaves the Astros, too. So You know, it's really hard because I don't have really any insight as to what specific moves he made or what he was thought of. But I've always felt it's kind of important to have a legend of some sort just kind of around. Yep. Whether it's, you know, I know some of these guys, Joe, they want to do more than shaking hands. Nolan Ryan is one of those guys. But I do think, if anything, if you ask me, it is a little sad that both teams in Texas he can't have any part of right now for one reason or another.
So. Which is kind of crazy when you think of, because he is a legend in them parts, too.
In Texas, yeah. I mean, pitched for Houston and pitched for Texas. Yep. I mean, those are two of the four teams that he pitched with. Yeah, because he pitched with the Angels for a bit. And then, as you mentioned, the New York Mets. So maybe he'll go to the Angels. That's next.
Crazy.
All right, back we go to 1994. And let's hit on a no-hitter here. Scott Erickson of the Minnesota Twins. Scott Erickson had a very quick, dominant run in Major League Baseball for about 2 or 3 years with the Twins and then signed a big contract with the Orioles. And, well, you know, the rest is sort of history. But at least he does have that no-hitter under his belt in 1994. The strike shortened season, but Erickson in 94-95 is a pretty darn good pitcher with Minnesota. And you can go back and look at the stats. Believe when it mattered about winning games, he actually won 20 games. All right, 1998, and this was the beginning of what was really a dynasty for the San Antonio Spurs, Joe, as Tim Duncan wins the NBA's Rookie of the Year. Remember the Spurs?
I remember it well.
Yep. They went in the tank after David Robinson went out. Now they have Duncan. Now they have Robinson. And later on, they'd get Ginobili. Later on, they'd get Tony Parker. But Tim Duncan, easily one of the best players in the history of the NBA and probably the single most underrated player in the NBA.
Absolutely. Like I said, he's on my Mount Rushmore by far in the NBA. The guy was just pure silk. It was a perfect marriage. The right player for the right city at the right time. And voila, that usually produces championships, which is exactly what it did.
Yeah, and a player that was better in the NBA than he was in college, which I always find
so interesting. One of the last four-year NBA guys, too. One of the last guys to actually go all 4 years.
Yeah, with Wake Forest, for sure. Yeah, and look, the Spurs, I mean, there's nothing left to be said about them. They won so many championships. It's amazing that the coach outlasted all the players. You very rarely see that in the NBA.
But yeah, indeed, crazy.
Popovich. All right, and our final this day in history. I'm shocked to see that this was this late. I wonder if the NFL draft, if we're going to have something tomorrow. But, yeah, I guess back in 2017, they finished off the draft on April 27th. Wow, that's pretty late in April.
Wow. But,
Myles Garrett, first overall pick in the NFL draft. I would say that the results have been good with Garrett. I wouldn't say that he's a superstar, but he's a pretty good player, and I think that if you want to go back and judge it right now, you know, he's done well. He's had a good career thus far, only a couple of years into this thing, right? It's fair.
Talent is without a doubt there. Yeah. Talent is absolutely first, you know, pick in the NFL draft worthy. I think the best of Myles Garrett is still to come if he can keep his, you know, the penalty flags down to a minimum. But I think he's, especially that Cleveland team, I think the it's already looking up because we're in what, April, at the end of April, and we haven't once had a conversation about Baker Mayfield and an interview did.
That's true, too. Yeah, no, I think that they have built a nice core of players, but, I mean, the decision-making process was just awful, and the coaching last year was was abysmal last year for Cleveland. So that's what happened this day in sports back on April the 27th, and hopefully as we close out this month of April, we never have to go back and mention all the things that we didn't have in the month of April, because really April 2020 we're looking at WrestleMania and the NFL draft, and that's it. That's all we've had in sports.
Be getting really ready for the Kentucky Derby, I think, was what we should be doing.
Any of these things would be. We got bull riding back at least.
Thank you. And slowly but surely UFC will be back too before we know it.
All right, we got some birthdays today to cover, so let's hit those two. April the 27th, we got George Gervin, NBA All-Star, many-time All-Star, also Basketball Hall of Famer as well. Probably another, I mean, it seems like everybody who plays on the Spurs is underrated, but Gervin, you know, a lot of people remember, of course, when he played, but simply he's just not a name that gets talked about a lot among the greats, but he was a really good player. 1975, Chris Carpenter of the, you know, once upon a time Blue Jays, but really the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yes.
And one of their heroes in the 2011, I want to say, World Series, if I'm not mistaken. And Carpenter was just, I mean, he was in the Cy Young conversation 3, 4, 5 years in a row.
Yep.
Had it not been for injuries at the beginning of his career, and had it not been for injuries at the end of his career, I mean, Carpenter could be talked about as being a potential Hall of Famer. I know he still has some sort of role with the Cardinals now as some sort of special assistant. But when you think back and you think about pitchers that dominated in the mid-2000s when it was really tough, Carpenter was one of those guys.
Yeah, absolutely was. And you also have to guy was a fantasy machine there, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, for a lot of years there, he was racking up W's, and he was doing a pretty good job for fantasy players.
He certainly was. 1993, we move over to Keenan Allen of the Los Angeles Chargers. And, you know, Joe, Keenan Allen will have a new quarterback for sure this year. We'll dive into that coming up in a little bit. But what is the over-under now at this point that Keenan Allen gets passes thrown to him by Tyrod Taylor this season? If I set the over-under for games played, games started for Tyrod Taylor in 2020, and I set the total at 9.5. Would you go over or under that?
No, under. Absolutely under. Yeah, I don't see any way that you spend the number 6 pick on a quarterback and want to sit him behind Tyrod Taylor. There isn't anything I don't think Tyrod Taylor does better.
So you think Herbert starts the season with him?
I think Herbert, if not the first game, I would say very shortly thereafter. Okay. I think Herbert will have this team certainly by midseason.
I think Taylor starts, though.
I'd say Taylor starts, but I don't think it's going to be, I think it's going to be one of those situations like we had in Seattle with a third-round pick named Russell Wilson, who all of a sudden everyone's like, what do you mean? Who's he? Why is he starting the year over Hasselbeck? I think it's the same situation.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think that Russell Wilson was starting over Matt Flynn.
That's right, Flynn. I'm sorry, who they just spent all that money on?
That's right.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a very similar situation.
It could be. Maybe I set that number a little high. Maybe
that was a big number, but okay.
7.5. Got to make you think, Joe. That's the deal.
He's going to play at least half the season.
Okay, there you go. 8 games. And finally, Corey Seager, born in 1994 of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Who would have ever thought that, and again, we don't know what's going on with the season of baseball, but who would have ever thought 2 years ago, if I would have told you, that, yeah, Corey Seager, we're not even going to be talking about him.
Crazy.
What? What are you talking about? Oh, they're going to have a guy named Bellinger. He's going to be better. Are you nuts? No way. They're going to have a guy named Muncy. He's going to be better, too. Oh, no way. I mean, I thought Corey Seager was going to be a bona fide superstar in baseball, but his numbers haven't been – the numbers are fine. He's a good shortstop, but I thought we were looking at a superstar in baseball, and probably not even the third or fourth best player on the team for the Dodgers.
A lot of hype around Seager.
Yeah, some injuries and stuff. Missed year. Maybe 2020 is here. Is his year. We'll see.
Yep.
All right. So now we're not going to basically spoil The Last Dance. Joe and I had a conference call. We decided that on this show, we're not going to spoil it for those people who haven't seen the special on Michael Jordan and the Bulls and everything that they showed on Sunday night. We made the conscious decision that since there isn't a lot on television, why, for those of you who are waking up to us, tell you exactly what happened in the show,
right?
And then it's ruined for you. So we'll give you at least another few days, couple days, before we even start reviewing it or dial into it. We're not going to do that. But I will say this. Along those lines, with it being on again last night, and now they're starting to show all those different battles that they had with all of the other teams.
Yep.
What? Just a hypothetical, Joe. If Michael Jordan didn't play, Michael Jordan wasn't in the NBA, I think the Bulls probably still would have been okay. Pippen was really good. I mean, Pippen was good that year that they almost beat the Knicks and went to the finals. But who would have been the best player during that era in the 1990s if it wasn't Jordan? Like, is it just as easy? Because all we would have to do is look at the team that won the championship, and Houston won twice. We could just say Hakeem and just be done with it if you want. But is it that easy that Olajuwon would have been? I mean, he wouldn't have been Jordan, but he would have been considered the best player of the 90s, I would say. I think that's probably fair.
Well, that's when the center position mattered. So you had a couple of really good ones, in Ewing there and Olajuwon. This is where centers actually still mattered in the game.
Yeah, that went away, right?
That went away big time. But, yeah, when you look at it, would the Knicks have had an actual shot at winning a championship if there was no Jordan?
Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
Miami? Maybe, yeah. I mean, there might have been some, you know.
How about the way that I kind of threw it together here was, I think it's pretty clear cut that Elijah Wan would have been, because he proved it when Jordan wasn't there and Houston won their championships, right?
Right.
One with Drexler, one without Drexler.
Right.
Karl Malone.
Yeah, well, I was going to say.
Karl Malone and John Stockton, like those guys probably would have won maybe a championship,
few.
Right?
Yeah, a few. Absolutely. That team was crazy too. Stockton and Malone would have certainly been that pairing that you would have had to have looked at and been like, wow. I mean, you're talking about an era too that Detroit had dominated. Detroit might have dominated another year or two also.
Maybe.
Had Jordan not got sick of losing to them to begin with.
Would Phoenix with Barkley, would they have won? Dan Marley.
Yeah, you would have thought. But, you know, listen, they couldn't get out of the West. I mean, to me, it's...
Hey, they did one time, right?
Right,
They played the Bulls once.
All right. The question is, out of the East, I mean, who would have you know, rose to that level there and given the West a big run for their money? And there weren't... I mean, it was a constant with, you know, beat the Knicks, beat Miami, beat... I mean, they just kind of went right through it for a while. It was just they beat everybody. Maybe Boston might have had another couple of years in them. But no, it's... I think the winners would have come from the West, to tell you the truth.
It seems that way. Would Shaquille O'Neal have won anything with Orlando?
Nah, he was Orlando, though. I don't know that they... Well, they had Hardaway... So maybe,
and they got to the finals, right?
Yeah.
Against Houston,
they
got swept, right?
Yep, yeah. But even Houston beat them. But you're right; those Houston teams were.
It feels like they're the teams, and that's why I wonder. Like, if I had to say, like, a lot, I would put Elijah Wan, second in that era, and then I would put Malone third. But I'm having a hard time with fourth. So.
Well, you'd have to probably go some sort of guard in that area.
I mean, I want to put Barkley, but I don't know.
I don't know that would have been the I don't know that it would have been the case. I think Ewing would have rose to the occasion too. You know,
yeah.
I think those Knicks teams would have certainly had enough toughness when Riley was coaching them during that era to be able to. If there was no Jordan, I got no doubt the Knicks would have had at least one.
Yep. All right, we'll take a quick time out. When we come back, it's time to start diving into the NFL draft. My ranking of the fantasy running backs that were taken in the 2020 NFL draft. That's coming up next right here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Craig Nish and Joe Ranieri. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Hopefully you guys are having a really good Monday morning, and we will continue on here on the show until 1 o'clock on the East. And yes, of course, we're going to cover the recap of the NFL draft. Now, a lot of the shows that you watch here on Sports Grid certainly do it from a betting perspective. We can touch on some of that as well. But of course, this is Fantasy Sports Today, so I thought we would dive into it from a fantasy perspective. And what's really interesting is that with the lack of sports happening, Joe, what we're seeing is a lot of people are just immediately rushing over to now see where these players fit in,
right,
in terms of a mock draft and in terms of where you would potentially take a look at them. And again, look, in years past, we had guys like Christian McCaffrey, we had Saquon Barkley, and I think that there's going to be a lot of depth in this rookie class.
Okay.
But I don't know that we're going to see like any rookie drafted in the first round or the second round or probably maybe even the third round. I'm not sure how that will shake out, but I think there's going to be a lot of rookies taken this year.
Right.
I just don't think we're going to see any in the first 15 or so picks.
Yeah, it's who would you go with? I mean, that's the real, I mean, I don't know. There's so much still to be determined. And you mentioned it. I don't know what to make of the running back position anymore because how it is viewed on a league-wide perspective here, this draft, I mean, they're a dime a dozen. And it looks like every team needs three running backs now. I mean, have we noticed this? Like, you know, all of a sudden Indy needs three running backs. Everybody needs three running backs. That just devalues the position, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, it makes it a lot tougher. Yeah. And if you can just get that guy that is the sole guy in the backfield,
right,
even with a year that Barkley had last year, he's still going to be a top three pick this year. No matter what you think about McCaffrey,
crazy,
he's the number one pick, even with a 20% reduced workload. When you have one guy, it is so worth it to dive into that volume. And now we're going to see some of that volume taken away from a few players. So we'll talk about that certainly. So there's no bona fide first round guaranteed top five pick in this. And I don't even think that there's anyone in the second round either. There's some people who think maybe late second, early third. But here is how I have them ranked for 2020. Now, again, this is all subject to change.
Right.
There's going to be a lot that's going to happen between now and the time the training camps open. And who knows if they're open and who knows how this will all shake out. But here's my initial reaction to how I would rank them from a fantasy perspective. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the situation that kind of follows is this, is they invested a first round pick in him.
Right.
I understand that the Chiefs are going to use several guys. They've proven this in the past. I don't really think that Damien Williams is going to ever get 20 or 30 carries in a game. So if Helaire is the number two guy in the offense and can work his way up to the one, I do think that he probably will be given the most opportunities to get fantasy points because of Joe near the goal line. And anytime they're near the goal line, if this guy is a factor and you know the Chiefs are going to score more than any team in the NFL or close to it,
right,
that's why I have him at number one. So I'll put him number one there.
I think the situation is you've got to have versatility as a running back. Like, and just like McCaffrey, if you can't catch the ball out of the backfield, if they have to continuing to sub you out for other people because you can't be on the field on third down because it might be a pass. I mean, those days to me are gone. Helaire to me is all about the guy that can catch. He'll probably be a better receiver than he will be necessary runner at times. So I think that, to me, is probably more than anything why Andy Reid looked at him and said, he's a perfect fit for what we're looking to do.
Yeah, and I think that in a PPR format, you still got to put him at the top, and I think that he'll get used quite a bit, although they are the, you know, pass-happy team of the NFL.
Like Westbrook. Think about all those days with Westbrook back in the day with Andy Reid. That's exactly what he just got here.
Yep, that's a good point. All right, I got Keyshawn Vaughn second. I think that he is going to have the most opportunities to play.
Yes.
The Buccaneers are sour on Ronald Jones. That's obvious at this point. They have no one behind him, basically Peyton Barber, nothing else. And Vaughn proved it in the SEC at Vanderbilt. I think he's probably right at the top, a 15 to 20 carry type guy. And I think, Joe, that going into the year, Vaughn probably won't be the first running back taken off the board as far as rookies go, but he may. Maybe they should. Maybe you should.
I mean, if he has a really big preseason and he wins the job and he's the horse there, I mean, it is bizarre to me to see them turn on Ronald Jones so quickly, Joe, because he's only been in the league 2 years, but it's pretty obvious when you use a third-round pick on a guy like Vaughn that you're going to use him. And again, Tom Brady's in that offense too.
How much running is Bruce Arians and company going to do? How much are they going to rely upon? And listen, with Bruce Arians, it's all about trust. And he obviously doesn't try. I think Ronald Jones is a very good running back, but I don't think that Bruce Arians trusts him, which is why he had this whole platoon thing. And I think Tampa Bay is just another example of an organization that doesn't put a lot of stock in the running back position. And it's first man up, everyone who does in certain situations makes it very hard from a fantasy perspective. But when you go out and get Vaughn here in the third round, you've basically announced to the rest of the team, Yeah, we're not exactly sold on either of the guys on the roster right now.
Yeah, I think that at the end of the year, it wouldn't shock me to see Vaughn get the most volume of any of the names on the list here.
Doesn't surprise me.
Cam Akers, I have third. And Cam Akers, of course, went in the second round. And basically, with no Todd Gurley, you may ask yourself, oh, well, I mean, doesn't this make Cam Akers the every down guy, the first down guy, the second down guy? You know, it may. It may. But they drafted Daryl Henderson last year. And so, you know, I think that this is a tough one, too. I think it potentially is a timeshare. There's a chance also that Henderson is more of the pass-catching back. We saw Akers very easily was able to run the ball on first down and second down. So there's a chance that he's the early down guy and Henderson is the late guy. But again, Henderson probably will know the blocking a little bit better for the Rams. And Henderson could be a little bit of a better pass catcher, too, than Akers. So I got Akers third, which I think is a pretty solid number.
Yeah, a low center of gravity, and he's got breakaway speed. To me, he's a guy that around the goal line, they'll probably be using him a lot in those types of short yarded situations. I could see Cam Akers being that that bull for them.
All right, DeAndre Swift, I thought would be the first running back taken, and I thought that when we were done with this draft, we'd come here on Monday and say DeAndre Swift is the number one fantasy rookie in 2020.
Yep.
But I can't say that after he ends up with Detroit. And look, I understand that Kerryon Johnson is not a guy that's been healthy over the last couple of years, but when he's healthy, he's still pretty good, and he's still on the team. And, Joe, unless you tell me that Kerryon Johnson is not coming back with the Lions, there's just no way that I could put Swift ahead of the guys that are ahead of him. I think the other guys have a better path. Now, in 2021, I think there's in a dynasty league, I want Swift. I want Swift. That's the guy. But for 2020, I still think there's a chance he could fall short of not only these three that we mentioned, but maybe even some others. You know, Kerryon Johnson is the goal line guy too, so that the touchdowns could get taken away as well. I love the fit long term for Swift. I just don't know about this year unless they surprise us and they move Kerryon Johnson.
It'll be interesting because you know, Swift ran through some really big holes there at Georgia. But I got to tell you, when it comes to versatility, him catching balls out of the backfield, he's a big bodied kind of guy. I think he's a little more versatile than what Kerryon Johnson is, so I could definitely see them using him in much more. I don't know how much he'd come off the field. And we all know Kerryon Johnson, health-wise, not necessarily something that we've or
no,
they've
but
come.
When he's on the field, he's really good.
Yes,
I mean, the
absolutely.
Numbers don't lie. So it's unless they do something with Kerryon Johnson, I mean, Swift would be my number one dynasty player.
Yeah,
I don't think
big
for
time.
2020. I think a couple other guys may have better years.
Yep.
This was another weird one. Jonathan Taylor, the Colts traded up to draft Jonathan Taylor. They really loved him. And this is after Marlon Mack has put together two really good years for the Indianapolis Colts. They also have Nyheim Hines, too, and Wilkins. Like, a really... Mm-hmm. Another surprising one. It's like, I guess I would say almost the same thing about Swift that I would with Taylor, which is that for this year, I mean, he's ahead of some other guys that we'll go over, but I got to put him behind all these others because if I ask you, Joe, how many carries per game will Jonathan Taylor get if Marlon Mack is healthy? Is it five? Is it six? I don't know that he'd be much of a factor at all.
I am, and this is another one of those situations where it looks to me like there are some teams that are going to they want athletes as running backs, and not it's not going to be a one-man show at all. It's going to be – I love this kid. I think he's going to prove to be one of the better running backs in the league. He's an athlete. He comes with a track background. He's got that breakaway speed. He's a great athlete, never missed any time, never missed a game or practice. But, again, like you said, you got Mack, you got Hines, so now – you can only one guy can carry the ball at a time.
I don't know. Have two.
Yeah. And they're very similar in that kind of way that they can run the ball. So he's a great pick. I just don't know how much, you know, Frank Wright and company, unless they've decided that, listen, we are going to run the ball and we're going to give Phillip Rivers less opportunities to throw it into, into double coverage, that kind of thing.
That could be for sure.
Yeah.
All right, now 6 through 10. At 6, I got J.K. Dobbins of the Baltimore Ravens. Dobbins clearly is another one of those guys, maybe for 2021. I think Ingram probably has one really good year left, but let's also not forget last year they drafted Justice Hill. So what that they have Gus Edwards. So, I mean, I don't know what they're doing here with Dobbins, but his talent is undeniable, and
And who knows? Maybe they make some move that we're unaware of before the season started. I know Miami really wanted him, and they picked one pick after Dobbins. They did not get him. Zach Moss went to Buffalo, and in Buffalo's situation, I think that he's probably in for a timeshare, Joe, because right. Devin Singletary is the one that they drafted the year before, so I could just simply seeing this just a straight split. The Bills were really never comfortable giving giving Singletary the ball full time, nor were they comfortable giving him the ball on the goal line. They gave a lot of those to Frank Gore. So I don't think Moss is much of a factor this year, but I don't see them handing it to Singletary every time either. Singletary could get overdrafted in fantasy this year.
Depth. It's obvious the teams that believe there should be, and even the next guy, that depth is important on their team, and they want more than one guy. They want some people in that running back room. Because it's loaded there. I mean, they've got a nice group of running backs there in Buffalo now. But like you said, there's, how are you supposed to count on them from a fantasy standpoint?
Yeah, it's true. And I think that that's where the tier stops as far as draftable fantasy players in the draft. I think now, from the point on now, we're talking about if the starter gets hurt. We're talking about handcuffs only. I see Hilaire, Vaughn, Akers, Swift, Taylor, Dobbins and Moss all playing.
Yes.
I don't know how much, but they're going to play a little bit.
Yep.
Now I don't know that I could tell you that any of these guys are going to play at all this year. I'm just not sure. AJ Dillon to me doesn't play unless Aaron Jones gets hurt.
Right.
I don't see any reason to play AJ Dillon unless Aaron Jones gets hurt. Eckler has proven himself. If Kelly gets anything, it's a couple carries a game. I mean, Eckler is the guy there, no doubt.
Yep.
And look, Connor was hurt a lot of last year, so that makes Anthony McFarland a little bit of a handcuff, I think, for him. But I don't think McFarland's ready to start carrying balls in the NFL right off the bat. And with all the blocking schemes that they have going on there, I think McFarland is going to sit a little bit. So I'm a little bit bearish on Dylan, Kelly, and McFarland, Joe. I'm just – those three guys – they're just strictly handcuffs for me. Somebody right. gets hurt and give them a chance.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the McFarlane I love from the standpoint of he's a very elusive back. He too has that home run speed. He's like that kind of back that you're going to bring in just very isolated situations
right.
that that could prove really good, especially on gadget plays, that type of thing. But I don't see him being certainly worthy of a three down back type of situation being on a field. I don't see that, but he'll have his moments, but that's not going to score you any fantasy points.
Yeah. I don't think he'll be starting any of these guys unless again, somebody gets hurt. They'll all be drafted in fantasy drafts. It's just a matter of you're waiting for somebody else to get hurt. That's the ultimate handcuff situation.
Yep.
I didn't go round six, round seven, or honestly round five, but I do have a few that I feel like were the best of the rest. And these are players that maybe you're going to be taking in the last round of your fantasy draft or second to last round. I think that there's a chance 10 rookie running backs go. P. Ryan at Florida was just awesome, but he is not a workhorse at all. He's out of the backfield. He's third down when Bell needs a breather, and I think that that's it. But he's dynamic, and they've been looking for somebody to be dynamic in that Jets offense out of the backfield, so I think P. Ryan fits that bill. Darrington Evans is only if Henry gets hurt and nothing else, and on third down, and that's nothing else. And the same thing goes for DJ Dallas. I'm not really sure how Seattle's situation is going to pan out. Carson was a little bit of a disappointment, I thought, last year, Joe, and then he got hurt. So maybe there's a chance that DJ Dallas gets a little bit of a bump, but I got to tell you, he was okay at Miami, but he was no star. He was not a star or anything by any means. And I got to cut off the running back conversation at that point because I went through the rest and I really didn't see anybody that I thought that would have a fantasy impact in 2020. But as we know, there's always surprises every single year.
Of course.
Nobody had Philip Lindsay a couple of years ago. There's always going to be players that are going to come out of nowhere. So I always say that to take it with a grain of salt, and we'll check back on this in a couple months.
There is a definite trend going on in the NFL with the running back position there. And a lot of these picks here this year just – it's like they're stockpiling in that position, in that room that, while we know there's a starter, we know which one's the starter, it just feels with some of these draft picks in this year that it's really anybody's game. Whoever gets the hot hand could very well be the starting RB1 and RB2 in just about every – you almost have to overdraft in the running back positions in the late rounds just because any one of them at any particular time could take over the starting job.
Who do you think the most likely of all of these is to lead rookies in rushing in 2000? Just rushing yards in 2020. I don't think it would be Hilaire.
No.
I'm not sure if it would be Vaughn, but I think Vaughn will get a lot of volume out of the backfield too. Is it Akers that Riley has the best chance, just strict rushing yards?
Yeah, to win the rushing yards, I like I do. I like well, Cam Akers to me is probably the most versatile or the best hard-nosed running back in there. And I think he's going to see a lot of – he's probably the most points, I think, of the running backs that outside, of course, of Hilaire. I do think Akers is going to get the ball a ton in short yardage situations. But to me, you got to be a home run hitter. If we're talking about yardage, it doesn't need to carry the ball 30 times a game to get to 125 yards, right? You run it, if you're a guy that can actually bust one out for 65 yards here, 25 yards there, I think that, to me, some of these home run hitters here, like Jonathan Taylor, who can take it to the house, and before you know, he's got 100 yards at halftime.
All right, we'll have a lot more in hour number two. Straight ahead, don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.